a good idea to be prepared in your household. Have an emergency plan, communication plan with your family members in case something were to happen.
Warmer weather is on the way as spring approaches, but that means the chance of severe weather increases as well. From the Hays Police Department, Lieutenant Brandon Wright joins us to share some severe weather tips on this episode of the Post Podcast.
So it's actually severe weather preparedness week. So there's been some articles in the news and things like that about it. You know, springtime in Kansas means thunderstorms, and that means, you know, wind, lightning, heavy rains, hail, and tornadoes. So yeah, let's talk about that a little bit.
Already seen a little bit of severe weather, a week or so ago?
Yeah, something like that.
Yep, and it will continue. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I wanted to talk about that a little bit. So I direct people to check out the National Weather Service website. That's a good resource. You know, it's got forecasts on there, information about watches and warnings, as well as tips on preparedness and safety. But I really think preparedness is the key. And that starts with just being aware of what's going on with the weather and checking the forecast, paying attention if we're in a severe weather watch or warning. And staying informed on that, not just looking up at when you walk outside. You know what I mean? So along with that, you know, I think it's a good idea to be prepared in your household. You know, have an emergency plan, a communication plan with your family members in case something were to happen. We were to get a tornado strike or something like that in Hays. How are you going to get together, communicate, meet if something were to happen at your house, be it flooding or a tornado or something like that? It's just having a plan of a place to meet. Also,
my plan is to go outside and get up on the roof. Is that correct?
Well, that's some people's plan.
Okay.
We do see a lot of that. I'll speak to that in just a minute. But yeah, and even in your house, you know, knowing, especially if you got children, educating them on where the safest rooms in your house, where to go. If you don't have a basement to go to, having a plan of a neighbor or family member's house to get to ahead of time, to make sure everybody's safe. I think the average is something around 60 tornadoes in Kansas annually, or more than that, actually. So, I mean, they're happening. They happen every year. So, and also just kind of more of the day-to-day stuff, you know, I mean, my house has been affected by power outages more in the last couple of years than I remember before that. So, you know, if we had a storm that affected power, are you ready for that? Do you have water and shelf stable food and candles and batteries for the flashlights and all those kinds of things? It's a good idea to be ready for that. And speaking of the people on the roof when the tornado sirens are blaring, you should pay attention to the sirens. If the sirens are going off, either the National Weather Service has triggered them due to seeing some rotation on radar, or we've got a first responder. Most first responders are trained in storm spotting, mm-hmm. that has witnessed some rotation in the clouds, or multiple citizens have called in and reported rotation or seeing a tornado. That's when the sirens are going off. So, so I would really encourage you not to disregard the tornado sirens. If they're going off, they're going off for a reason, unless it's the Monday at noon, you know, weekly test that we all hear all the time.
And they fire them for other reasons, too. I think about an incident maybe a couple of years ago now, a pretty big hailstorm where they fired them off. And that was the reason. It's because, like, this hail could kill you.
Yeah.
Go inside, guys. And, of course, people didn't.
Yeah, they should just don't ignore them. Pay attention when the sirens are going off. You know, check your phone, your favorite app, see what's going on. But those are intended to warn people to take shelter and to give them advanced warning of dangerous weather. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but that is common. When the sirens go off, see a lot of people going outside to see what's going on.
There is something fascinating about it, though, too. You ever, like, find yourself down a rabbit hole looking at storm chaser footage and things like that?
Yeah, I've watched some of those things on that on YouTube and seen some of that. I had a series for a while.
Yeah.
It was about those. But yeah, people want to see and everything. I get that. But those sirens are advanced warning of danger. So one thing I would note on that is on Mondays, if we have weather in the area, they will not fire off that test on Mondays at noon. So that's good information to know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One of the common things we have here, though, is street flooding. You know, we get major storms in the spring. We get a bunch of rain quick, especially if the ground's saturated. You know, we'll get some street flooding, and that causes usually minor trouble with traffic. So we don't have a lot of large bodies of water here, but there are a couple of places in town where it can be dangerous. There are a couple of areas that water can get deep enough that they would submerge a car. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people drive into deep water on the streets and flood out their cars and stall them, kill their engine. So my recommendation would be not to drive down streets that are flooded. Be sure that when you're driving into an area that you know your car can go down. Mm-hmm. And if you're in any doubt, turn around and wait. Generally, the water subsides fairly quickly. Usually it's a short-term thing here. But just be careful while you're driving. You can strand yourself and cause expensive damage to your vehicle. And like I said, there are a few areas where if when the street floods, you can't see the sides of the road. And there's some drop-offs that could completely submerge a car. So that can still be, we can still have a very dangerous and deadly situation if people aren't paying attention and are unlucky about where they make that mistake. So, and we do also have a few areas where the floodwaters can flood homes, particularly like the 16th, 17th, and Fort Ash areas. It's a low spot. Water can get deep enough in there to flood homes and flood basements. That could be especially dangerous at night. So if you live in one of those areas where there's those street signs, I don't know if you've seen them, impassable during high water and turn around, don't drown. Those are there because water can get very deep there in the street. And those are also typically the areas that will that can flood basements. So if you're new to one of those areas, you see those signs around your homes, I'd talk to your neighbors. And I'd be especially careful about flood watches and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And there's also, because we just recently bought a house, the floodplain has been updated as well, too. And you can find
aware of that.
Yeah. And you can find those resources online as well to see if your home is in that particular area, too. If you're looking for a rental or anything like that, especially coming up on the end of the year.
Yeah, we've worked a couple of incidents where the homes were, it got quickly flooded around, and that's the area I'm talking about, mm-hmm. That I just mentioned. And, you know, we're talking about thigh deep, waist deep water to get up to houses. Mm-hmm. When you're walking through that area, you got to be worried about things like manhole covers that have come dislodged from all the water flowing through the storm drain system, and they can push those manhole covers up. Mm-hmm. So when you're walking, you could step into one of those things. Really hurt yourself.
Well, that's like my nightmare. I never step on a manhole cover ever. I'm always afraid it's going to bust through. It's true.
You're not that heavy, James. Okay.
It's an irrational fear.
And we've had to help folks out of their houses that we're dealing with a bad situation.
Yeah.
So, but it all comes back, I believe, to paying attention, being aware of the weather forecast, what's going on, and not just being oblivious to all of that.
Right.
You know, I absolutely agree. You know, the preparedness is so vital. But I do wonder if with the last couple of minutes we've got here, I'm curious if something bad does happen, and I think specifically around the tornado piece, and there's that recovery effort going on. Say the house has been damaged, destroyed, whatever, and you need help. I imagine it's going to be a situation where phone lines are troubled, power's out. How do they get attention? What's the easiest and best way for them to get that assistance they might need out of law enforcement or just emergency personnel in general?
Well, I tell you, that's a difficult one to answer, because if we did have a tornado strike, something that was that kind of destruction and damage, it's chaos. Mm-hmm. We actually just had a training, full-scale training exercise yesterday with a lot of local agencies involved. It was centered around a tornado strike that hit like the middle school area and went across town and across St. Francis's building. It was an exercise involving St. Francis. And so we drilled all that. You know, we have policies, procedures, and things in place that we use that we will use to manage these events, but it will be chaotic communication if we were to have a tornado strike. Could be nothing. You might be able to get through on your cell phone. You might not. The infrastructure could be damaged or just overloaded with all of the people trying to call in. And help is going to be delayed. We might not be able to get to your location due to the debris in the streets and things like that, but that's an all-hands thing. City employees and all your local first responders and your government entities will be coming to work and starting to work the problem. So it might take some time to get to everybody, but help will be on the way.
Another great reason to be better prepared.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. When we talk about, preparing your house, you know, there are preppers who go to the extreme on the things that they do right. But I think everybody ought to have, spend some time thinking about what do I need to have on hand to get through a couple of days if something like that were to happen. Do I have enough supplies to survive on my own for a couple of days? That goes even down to making sure you've got a little bit of gas in your vehicle to get out of town if all of that power is wiped out and whatnot. We saw that with a big windstorm. What was it? The end of 21, we had a big windstorm hit.
Yep.
Knocked a lot of power out in town. All the traffic signals were pretty much down. Most of the gas stations were not operable. I think there was maybe one that was. Mm-hmm. It was overrun. Mm-hmm. So just give it a little bit of thought ahead of time to how to prepare yourself to get through an event like that. Because if we had a massive area of town affected, it's going to take some time to get help to all the people in that area. But the help's coming, but definitely having some personal preparedness go a long way.